Pastor Mai, Raina, Sarah, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. If I may give you the latest statistics from our good hard-working friends at Department of Health and Social Care. The total number of tests undertaken is 4,767. We have had 4,756 tests returned, which means we got 11 outstanding. There are 336 confirmed cases, and the meaning that today we have no new cases. Total active cases is 3. And I have another update here from the Department of Health and Social Care. As well as providing an update on the testing results, we've been asked to pass a message regarding dentists. I know this is on a lot of people's minds. We have received a number of queries on this difficult subject, particularly for those who require emergency dental work. Patient needs in this circumstance can be urgent. However, it is clearly very hard to deliver these services whilst adhering to social distance guidance. Department for Health and Social Care continues to work with all dentists and the island's dental association towards the resumption of these services. A standard operating procedure to reopen all practices has been approved in principle, but they will be finalised next week along with quality assurance visits and discussions on the use of PPE and infection control, which Department of Health and Social Care would undertake. We will look to issue further advice and guidance as soon as we can, but until this time, we ask that residents continue to contact the emergency dental number for any treatments. So with that, I just would like to say welcome to TT Week. It's starting tomorrow, and I know many of the fans around the world are going to be dejected. Why? Because we have no TT. But what I can tell you is that we have entertainment for TT Week. We have the TT Lock-In, which is going to feature the virtual TT, 8 days of entertainment starting next Saturday. Manx Radio have their own programme of events, which will be very exciting. And in particular, I always look forward to Roy Moore's Mountain Memories. And there is also ITV4, which will be featuring races of the last decade. And what I'd like you to do is what I'm doing is to actually promote TT. Why? Because normally TT will generate £37 million spent in our economy. Clearly, tourists are not here on our island, and that is an impact on our economy. So every pound you're going to spend on our island is going to be very valuable for all our local businesses, which is why we need you to spend as much as you can in our local economy. The local multiplier effect would estimate that £1 spent equals £1.80 that goes around the economy. So many of you are returning to work. Some of the officers return to work this week. Next week, we have some lifestyle services returning to work. This is great news, and this is because of the confidence in the results that we've actually been portraying each day as we come forward here. So what we want to do now is build confidence, because now we are coming out of lockdown. Which was always going to be challenging, always going to be difficult. But we need you to have confidence to come out and to spend in our local economy. So Chief Minister talked yesterday about more work that we're doing around social distancing. He mentioned New Zealand. I quite like the Danish model. And we are collating more data on this because we think that we can do more and provide guidance for you, the public. So what I'd like to do at this particular point is also highlight in lockdown mental health. It's been mentioned before, we've had our clinicians talk about this, and the longer we're in lockdown, the more mental health issues there are. And that's why you and the Manx public have been so great to get to this particular point. But we must consider our neighbours, must consider our community, and that's why as we do more, particularly now with recreation being available, and in particular now for staycation opportunities. If you're not going away on holiday, you have a staycation opportunity. Campsites are open, self-catering is open, and please avail yourself of our beautiful island. We have many hundreds of miles of footpaths, we've got beaches, we've got glens, we've got moorland. Discover your island and share it. And that's what I meant with regards to this week, TT Week. We got outstanding weather, which is a real shame for TT not being on. However, I want you to take pictures. I want you to actually share that on all your social media so that we can have a bounce back bumper year next year. And with that in mind, we are now planning for the Super Manx Bank Holiday, which is coming up in August, which is the big four-dayer. And there we want to really celebrate the Manx in general. So with that, I'd like to now take questions. And first up, I have Chris Kay from Energy FM. Pass the mic, Chris.
Good afternoon, Minister Skelly. I like how you mentioned the importance of local businesses. Certain small business owners that I've spoken to, such as those who run salons, have said that it's not financially viable for them to open if they have to frequently deep clean, take in fewer clients and provide limited services due to social distancing. What plans are in place to ensure a number of small businesses won't be forced to collapse if these measures continue?
There is continued support and it is a choice for them to actually come back to work next week. And I know some of them are going to delay that. And this is one of the reasons why we're doing more work in terms of social distancing, which you rightly picked up on there, Chris. The World Health Organization recommendation is 1 meter, for example. And we know that, we do have our schools reopening on the 15th of June, which is another a key component of returning back to some normality, because it's we recognize that some people are going back to work and industry's been able to work if they choose to do so, if it is safe. But we also recognize the importance of actually having children in school in order to do that. So this is all part of the return back to some form of normality.
Can you envisage the restrictions being eased considerably in the next few weeks and months? I mean, you talk of the situation in New Zealand. They're now allowing gatherings of up to 100 people. Is that something we can expect to see in the Isle of Man in the next few weeks and months?
We are taking in small steps, baby steps, as has been being required. However, what we will say, given where we are, what we are, day nine with no new cases, that's great news. And I want to say it once more, thank you to the Manx public, because it's your cooperation that has enabled us to get to this particular point. And our hospital actually now is COVID-free, which is a remarkable achievement. So we are taking steady, measured approach. And what we try to do in all cases is gather more evidence before we do actually make a decision. So as Chief Minister stated, I think it is next Thursday is our next major decision point.
I mean, the health minister's mentioned numerous times over the last few months his caution and taking these baby steps. Do you think, though, that could be of the detriment in the long run if we don't act as a nation befitting of our situation rather than that of a jurisdiction, a country which has been worst affected by coronavirus? I mean, those numbers today, very, very encouraging once again.
They are encouraging. And yes, we are taking a very steady, measured approach, it's fair to say. But we have been first movers in certain cases, particularly with regards to recreation. And and I hope people are enjoying the having the 10 outside, 2 inside at the moment, as they can have more interaction, which is so go back to the point there with regards to mental health, because that is becoming a growing issue. And I know my other colleagues are getting quite a number of calls with regards to that particular issue. So I think we're taking a good, steady, measured approach. We look forward to next Thursday, when hopefully we'll be armed with more information, be able to make a more substantive statement by Chief Minister. Thank you, Chris. Next is up is Simon. Pass the mic, Simon.
Good afternoon, Minister. And firstly, of course, backing up the good news, we've got the virus on the ropes, it seems, after a fantastic effort by all concerned. Secondly, though, and following up on Chris's theme, we now have a pretty huge and complex task of getting the economy back on track. Businesses that have been allowed to reopen are finding significant problems with implementing the new safety measures and trying to coax a sort of shell-shocked public back into their old buying habits. We've seen the business support grants, we have the MIRA scheme, but isn't it the case that many more tailored government support schemes will be needed in the coming months to prevent dozens, if not hundreds, of SMEs from going out of business?
Yeah, thank you for that, Simon. Yes, you're talking about ongoing support. The more opportunities we have for industries to come back to work, that means that we can concentrate on those we know are going to have difficulty for a medium to longer term. In terms of schemes, what I am encouraged by and I would like to highlight is we do have an adaptation scheme. We have had a number of applications already come through that as businesses are demonstrating their real true innovation. I've been really very impressed with that, I have to say, in a host of different industries. And I'd recommend anyone who's thinking about their business to come to us and talk to us about an adaptation scheme, because that can be applied and we can process that. So we do recognize there are certain sectors are going to struggle for some time. And you're right, the word you use there, shell-shocked public. And that gets back to the word that I like to use is about rebuilding confidence so as they can actually go out and about in a relatively normal manner with obviously the guidances in place. And do bear in mind, those who we are allowing to go back to work, it's only if they choose to do so, if they feel it is safe to do so, and there is support mechanisms that are in place. Treasury Minister just announced, I think two weeks ago, with regards to the salary support schemes being extended right the way through the summer, which I know is a comfort to a number of businesses. Thank you, Simon.
Thank you very much. Now, my second question, if the Isle of Man could, in fact, declare itself coronavirus free, which now looks like a real possibility in the week or so ahead, do you see opportunities for us to gain economic benefit from such a status? And if so, how?
Yeah, good, very good question. And yes, we would like to think that we could, or we will be very well positioned to take advantage of that. And one of the things that we're doing, and why I say I'd like you, the Manx public and the media, to promote the Isle of Man in its beauty. And what do we say in the Isle of Man? No better place on a fine day. And by God, we've had some fine days. So please share that. Because what you're doing is you're promoting the Isle of Man, not just as a place to visit, which we will want that bounce back next year, but also a place to live and work, which is the very simple premise of the programme for government. And we know we're already gaining inquiries, and there are businesses that have people ready to move to the Isle of Man. Why? Because of our position here, but also the quality of lifestyle that we do have on our island. And I think we've all got a role and responsibility there to promote the Isle of Man, which is done to pretty good effect, I have to say, by a lot of the social media, along with the mainstream media, which you guys are. So very good question that. Thank you, Simon. Tim.
Thank
that's
you.
That's the way, Tim. Mighty haircut.
Just a muse, yeah. It needed doing in this fine, glorious weather. You mentioned, obviously, TT, and we'd have hotels that would be bustling now with TT visitors, campsites, etc. But there is the fallout, the reputational fallout, because as well as we're getting all the, I should have been on the island today, we're getting a lot of comments about the fact that people didn't get a refund and they have lost considerable amounts of money in some instances. You've put words out saying reputational damage to the island, you're working to avoid that with the hotels, but just could you give us some details as to how you're doing that, if hotels are sticking with their non-refund policy?
Yeah, I you've raised this before, and I know this has done the rounds on social media, and it is a difficult issue. And I know there are one or two properties and people have been targeted, which is unfortunate. But what we have stated and be very clear about it is that we have supported the terms and conditions, which are individual to each of those businesses. And clearly, for us here on the island, we did have we have 70% of our hotel bed space on the promenade. They were living through the disruption of that. They then had the flyby, and then COVID came along. And as you know, we work very much on a seasonal type of issue, so we know it's very difficult with the margins. But what I would say is there are many hoteliers as well as the tour operators have managed to forward book, which is great, and we welcome that. And good news just recently by the Steam Packet talking about their bookings for next year, which are showing very healthy, very strong, and we hope that can be maintained. And I'd also like to say that This is a global issue, the travel problem. Many people have booked holidays. There's airline collapses. I saw Sheeran's actually collapse there just this last week. You know, one of the oldest coach company, you know, in Britain, and that's another form of tourism that's quite strong for us here on the Isle of Man is coach travel, and what will happen as a result of that in terms of coach business, because given their demographic and, you know, that getting back to public having confidence to go on holiday. Right now, our focus here as an island is the domestic economy, which is why we need the island's population where they can to spend on island. So I get back to that that multiplier effect. Every pound spent can represent £1.80 going around our local economy, which is really valuable for us, particularly more so now.
I think it's just on that. It's more than just Sheerings. They were part of a bigger group, and it's National Holidays. We've seen their coaches on the island as well. So that's a further blow, isn't it, for that tourism sector, which is going to be, apart from the staycation trade, is going to be the last to really get it back on its feet.
You're right. And this is why it's as we release sectors that can go back to work, who feel they are safe enough to go back to work and start generating income, less support will be needed for them, and allows us to concentrate and focus on what will be a strategy around particularly tourism and travel. But we are somewhat governed by what happens further afield when it comes to travel and tourism. But we know we have a good offer, and I would highlight that we were seeing good steady increase in our tourism over the last few years, and investment was running at an all-time high, really, and so very encouraging. And I do know that there is still interest there, so but it will be a difficult one, and it will take some time. So the staycation is relatively small scale, but it is an opportunity that we do want to open up sooner rather than later.
And secondly, how concerned are you by the sacking of Chris Thomas from the Council of Ministers? And comments that now Douglas Central MHK only said on the Man in Line about the Council of Ministers using emergency powers inappropriately, a group within Comyn who are running things and sidelining other ministers. And why did Comyn not read the mood of Tynwald correctly on Tuesday over the planning issue?
Well, a number of questions there. Am I concerned? Yeah, I mean, Chris, I always brought value and fully respected his input, and personally had a lot of direct input with him. So it is what politics is very often. A week in politics is a long time. I'm saddened to see him go, but now he is gone. I'm sure we will continue to work together. I worked with Chris previously as on the backbenches. That is the case. In terms of council ministers not reading the mood, that is, does and can happen, you know, from time to time. A lot of people think that council ministers has a block vote and can run things through Tynwald, and that's not the case. We do not have a majority, so that will happen from time to time, and it's certainly not the first. I'm sure it won't be the last.
Well, I think anybody listening to the debate, it was clear pretty early on you weren't going to win it, and yet the debate carried on and on and on, and eventually you were defeated.
As many debates do carry on, and that's democracy, at work, really, Tim. So, and I just would like to pay tribute, actually, to our parliament. You know, we've just had a House of Keys this afternoon, for example, and I was speaking to some of the staff working in the parliament, and they were saying they're doing double the number of sittings than what they would normally do, and actually virtual, which is great for us that we could perhaps sit at home or in an office. They've actually got to almost double up with some of the functions that they do. So, but I want to say well done to them for facilitating the continuation of the political scrutiny and decision making and legislation that has just been passed today.
Can I just ask the question you didn't answer there? The emergency powers, do you feel that they are being used appropriately? And also, are there little groups within Comyn, as Chris Thomas believes there are?
Well, I don't know. It probably referring to National Strategy Group. And clearly, you know, that is a body that is a part of Council of Ministers and clearly has been driving things on a daily basis, but with then Council of Ministers' support. So that's the makeup of our government, and it's just quite clear and straightforward. So, and I would suggest that has worked very effectively to date. Otherwise, we wouldn't be at this particular juncture. Are there groups? You know, I don't know. There are always groups within political. We don't do necessarily party politics, but there are always groups of people who you know do vote together sometimes. But I would just suggest that we have been very effective to date. Any further questions from any of you?
Quite well, happy. Can I ask about the emergency powers? Are they being used appropriately?
Sorry, apologies.
You didn't mention that again.
Apologies. No, I think it is appropriate. It may be sometimes regarded as quite blunt in many ways. However, they've been very necessary. Why? Because we're in an emergency crisis situation. And clearly, if there is a different mechanism to do that, then and that is being explored as we speak with the Attorney General and the Chief Secretary. I know are investigating that, but you know, hopefully this will get to this particular juncture very shortly that it will no longer be necessary. But I believe it has been necessary to date, and once more would say it has been effective
with planning.
Well, that's that one particular case and that one particular issue, Tim. So, and a decision has been made. The will of Timbal has been determined, and therefore, you know, we as government will have to adhere and work around that. But that's democracy at work, Tim.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Any further questions, Chris or Simon? No. Great. Well, can I
say, just following on from. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, just following on from what we were saying before, just about the Isle of Man and marketing it and getting people to come here and enjoy it now that we hopefully are going to be coronavirus free. It's absolutely key to get our borders open as soon as possible, really, isn't it? Because while we're effectively sealed off from the rest of the world in many respects, we can't really cash in on that opportunity.
Yeah, no, but borders are a problem. But in terms of marketing, Simon, I think one of the strongest points, which we talked about, I mentioned earlier about the Isle of Man being an attractive place to live and work. I've been reading a number of articles people have been sharing with me about, do they really want to live in a big city? Do they really want to have a commute on public transport? There are people I know that actually moved here, local Manxies, that came back to the Isle of Man and are actually working for UK companies, and quite frankly, some of them do not want to go back to the UK, but they've proven they can be still productive. And as a government, I think we've demonstrated that too. I just look at our own department. Within a week, 98% of us were working from home. And we've been working 7 days in certain cases there, which has proved that we can be effective and still provide those vital services. And the real one of the other benefits of this is not long ago we were debating climate change. Well, one of the biggest advantages of climate change is us not getting in the car and going to work. So there is a direct benefit right there too. So I do think there is the call the new normal, and I think we'll see more of this. The private sector, I know, is discussing this very heavily at the moment because they see cost cutting opportunities as a result of the new economy going forward. And government clearly needs to look at this as well on a more sort of permanent basis. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate the questions, and thank you once more to the Great Manx public. And I'll just leave it with you to say, Tani Sushi, stay safe. Manon Sonder Brack, Isle of Man forever. Have a wonderful weekend and enjoy the TT fortnight. Go to mind.